ask your continued prayers for our service this morning. We might be blessed together. Certainly did enjoy the singing, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Good selections, good singing. I'm just so thankful for that. Before I get into my subject, let's just think with me for just a moment. Think about somebody that you really love. You dearly, dearly love. You found somebody? What if that person rarely thought about you? What if that person was just too busy to give you any time or attention? How happy would you be about that? Just the opposite, right? Could really even break your heart. Now, God loves us tremendously. And the next to the last song that we sang this morning was, He Remembers Me. Isn't that wonderful? That He would even take note of somebody like me. But to remember me, and to remember me in such a way that He continues to provide His love, He continues to be merciful, He continues to bless us in so many ways. Oh, isn't that amazing? Now here's the kicker. He wants us to remember Him. I don't mean just the remembrance that He exists. I don't mean just to remember that He has a Bible. I don't mean just to remember that He's done a great work for us. Remember Him with affection and thanksgiving for all that He has done, all that He continues to do, and all that we hope that He will do. Isn't that right? I mean, that is beyond fair. Look at what He's done for us. Look at what Jesus did for us on the cross, the tremendous suffering that He endured. We're not called upon to do that. Now, if need be, we need to suffer for His name's sake. And we just might have that opportunity before long. So it would behoove us to have a plan. To keep our mind renewed. I'm going to read some familiar verses. I'm not going to stay there long, but I'm going to read. And if you probably know where I'm going. Romans chapter 12. I want to just kind of lay the foundation, but then there's five things, and you could probably break these out into more. Nothing magic about the five, and I'm sure it's not exhaustive, but there's five things that this morning I have on my mind that I hope that we could maintain, that we could practice, that we can remember to do, however you want to express it, so that we can keep our mind renewed upon that one who loves us more than we will ever understand this side of glory. Wouldn't that be a worthy goal? That would help us to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That would help us to bring more glory and honor to His matchless name. That would help us to keep our mind where it ought to be, help us keep our heart where it ought to be, and probably help us keep our tongue where it ought to be. Sometimes it starts wagging, doesn't it? Sometimes it says the wrong things. Lots of things here. All right? Romans chapter 12. Let's just begin in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You know, it's by his mercy that we even know him. By his mercy that we love him. By his mercy that we love one another. It's by his mercy that we're here today. We might be elsewhere doing other things. Plenty of things to do on a Saturday morning, isn't there? Thank you for being here.
But we didn't do all. We came to church.
Thank you for being in the house of God. That's right. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Remember what we've said about that before. The problem with a living sacrifice, you keep crawling off the altar. We do that, don't we? All right, should we do that? All right, so we got something to work on. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A sacrifice now means it's going to cost you something. Uh-oh. Let's talk about something else. We don't want to talk about commitment, do we? We don't want to talk about discipline, whether it's personal or whatever. But a living sacrifice. Aren't you thankful that Jesus sacrificed himself for us? And he didn't sacrifice himself to us. He sacrificed himself to God for us. That's the only sacrifice that would be acceptable for our sins. And he did it. And he did it to the complete satisfaction of God, who is holy, holy, holy. Now that's saying something. What he did. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. We don't have to die to serve God. Now we need to die to the flesh. We need to die to the sins of the flesh, the things of this world. But we are alive unto God, and we have the opportunity to serve him and to thank him and to praise him and to be a blessing in the kingdom of God right now. Right now. And we need to redeem the time, don't we? Holy. All right. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, there's your dedication. The items in the temple were holy because they were dedicated to the service of God. And so we ought to be dedicated to the service of God. We have a lot of things we have to do in this world, but we can go about it in a way that's godly. We can go about it in a way that honors the Lord. Whatever we can do as unto the Lord and not unto men. That'll change your attitude dramatically if you'll just remember to do that. Because I tell you, some folks, if you have to work for them, you don't have much motivation to do much for them. But if you look beyond that and think about you're doing it as unto the Lord and not unto men, now we're getting somewhere. Holy. Acceptable unto God. You know, there's some sacrifices that have not been acceptable unto God. Read Malachi and Isaiah and some other places. God's people sometimes were bringing the lame and the halt, the diseased, the leftovers, and say, Lord, take this. In my words. Is he pleased with that? The leftovers? I've heard of people talking about, you know, church is for old folks, and when I get old, then I'll get serious about church. I got too much to do until then. You know, when I hear that, I don't know where there's any love for God in that. We're to seek the Lord while he may be found. We're remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. You'll be blessed for it. You'll be blessed for it. Acceptable. An acceptable sacrifice. I didn't think I was going to stay here very long. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He hasn't called us to be beaten and nailed to a cross. It's a reasonable service. And it gets even more reasonable the more love we have toward him. For those you love, you'll do an awful lot, won't you? Oh, the things parents do for children. And I hear it gets worse for grandchildren. But use that principle now. Wouldn't it ring true then? The more we love the Lord, the more we're willing to do for him. I mean, we're already behind, aren't we? He's done so much more for us than we'll ever. And he's done so much better for us than we can ever do for him. It's a reasonable service. All right, here, and be not conformed to this world. Boy, that's part of your daily battle right there. There's so many things to draw our attention away from God. There's so many things that draw our affections and our time away from godliness. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the things that we hope to get to will help us to keep him fresh in our mind, to keep the remembrance of his goodness and mercy and all that he's done for us in our mind. So be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That transformation comes from inside to the outside. That transformation is something that works on the heart, in the spirit. And it helps us to grow in our understanding. And when we do that, it begins to show. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but that's okay. That transformation is needed. The Word of God is precise. And I love the precision of God's Word, don't you?
Absolutely.
It has to be a transformation. It can't just be a confirmation. You know, you've heard the word picture about this, be not conformed to this world, the word picture being be squeezed into its mold. It happens from the outside, doesn't it? It comes against us. It presses against us from every front. But we're not, that's not how we're going to win the battle. Pressing against that. We win the battle by having our mind renewed in the things of God, because it's his strength that wins the battle. And we're dependent upon him. Be strong in the power of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Ephesians 6. Be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. That takes some action. That takes acting upon some things in order to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, living out godliness. showing that you love the Lord by the things you do every day. It's not a Sunday morning thing, is it? It's your life. And so we need to prove every day we live what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we're walking in His will, if we're walking in His way, then we're going to prove it. It's going to be proven to us. We're going to prove to others that we love the Lord. We're serving the Lord. And we'll be a blessing in the kingdom of God. And not just occupying space. All right. Now, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That whole concept of renewing the mind, being transformed, proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, all of these things considered. Let's think for just a moment now. I got 5 things. Probably could have come up with 105, but we don't have that much time, do we? All right. Like we said about transforming, renewing the mind, refresh, first thing here, refresh your mind, bathe your soul daily with the remembrance of the love of God. We're going to get to His word a little bit later, but the remembrance of the love of God. That's where it has to start. Loving God. We've already said, those folks that you love dearly, you'll do a whole lot more for them than you will other folks. And the more we feel and the more we express and the more we experience the love of God, I mean, listen, He loves us, doesn't He?
Yes, He does.
How much does He love us? That's good. He loves us tremendously. Do you feel it?
Yes, sir.
Could you feel more of it? Could you be more in tune with His love? Could you be walking more in His love? Could you be walking more in fellowship with God and communing with His Holy Spirit and enjoying more of the love of God?
Absolutely.
That's where our fellowship and our communion and our experience, that's where it begins. We love Him because He first loved us. When He sent His Spirit in our heart, He planted His love in our hearts. The Spirit knows it perfectly. And when we hear about the love of God, and when we see the love of God, and when we think about the love of God, that Spirit is revived within us. It rejoices in the goodness and mercy and love, the truth of God. Our soul gets thirsty for that. Our soul gets thirsty lots of times. And if you try to fill it up with the things of this world, it'll last for a little while, but then you're right back where you were. Oh, but the things of God and His love for us fills our souls to overflowing. And that's what we need first and foremost in our daily walk. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Were you worthy of that? Are you ever going to get worthy of that? Sounds like grace. That's right. Grace. And love is an integral part of the grace of God. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, and you are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And talks about how that we walk according to this world, but God. He says in verse 4, but God. Who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved Oh, bless your hearts. We need to be thinking more and more about the love of God. That's what warms our heart. You know, I think I've told you a number of times, whenever I feel like I need a good boost of that, I go read the book of Ephesians. The love that comes through in that book. Just 6 chapters. It won't take you very long. I know some folks faint when you suggest reading the whole book of the Bible, but Ephesians is not that long. And it is so good. I tell you, you can be on shouting ground before you get out of the first chapter. All the wonderful things that God purposed to do, and he did it through his Son. We weren't worthy of it, but he did it anyway. We're the happy recipients of his mercy and his grace when he gave us his love. And the more we love him in return, because he's constantly showing us his love in so many ways. And if you just stop and think about it and start looking for it, you can see evidence of God's love for us in all the things about us. Why, even nature itself, the beauty of, don't you love the beautiful scenes and the things that we have to enjoy in our environment? My goodness, he could have given us a desert all over the planet. I know there's beauty in the desert, but I'm talking about a barren place. He could have given us that. Oh, but what we have to enjoy. My goodness, the love. Remember, bathe your soul in the remembrance of the love of God every day. It'll do you good. It'll warm your heart. That's what we need, isn't it? Hearts aflame for the Lord. All that he's done is out of his love for us. I quoted John 3:16, or at least part of it. John 14, when he was about to go away, he began to tell him those loving words. I'll go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And then later in that chapter, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. While he's gone, he's given us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Have you felt the Comforter lately? Have you needed any comfort lately? If you've needed some comfort, he's there for you. You may not have thought about him. You may not have gone to him. But he's there for you. Because he said, I will not leave you comfortless. Now, whether we avail ourselves to his comfort or not is up to us. But it's here. It's available for God's children because he loves us. And he wants to take, and he does take care of us each day. Back in John 13, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Well, now listen. In the next verse, he says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you have love one to another, not one for another. We've got that. How often do we have one to another? How often are we showing it? You might say, well, preacher, I'm going to be an awful busy fella if I've got to show love to God and show love to everybody else. Well, listen, if you're showing love to everybody else, you're showing love to God. Now what Jesus said, as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now, first and foremost, we love God. And we need to show it. And it doesn't hurt to tell him in your prayers. I know we come short. I know our love for him is no match for his love for us. But go ahead and try anyway. Tell him. Tell him often. And you can tell him with your actions, can't you? All right. More we could do with that, but love. We need to bathe our soul in the remembrance of his love every day. Next is humility. Humility. Though the Lord be high, Psalm 138, I think it's verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. But the proud, he knoweth afar off. I want to feel the Lord near, don't you? I want him to feel like I'm right. He's right there with me. I've had enough of those times. I know there'll be others that'll come, but I've had enough of those times where I didn't feel like the Lord was near. I want him close. That person that you love, you know, I ask you at the beginning of this message to think about a person that you love. That person, don't you want to be close to him? Don't you want to talk to him? Don't you want to exchange thoughts? And we need to be close to the Lord. Well, humility is the only way to be there. Because the proud, he knoweth the far off. Remember in Proverbs 6, he says, 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the next verse gives you the first one. Do you remember which one the first one was of those seven things? A proud look. That person's lifted up in pride, looking down their nose at other people, thinking they're better than they are, that they're whatever. They know more than you. They're better than you are. Holier than thou. Whatever the case might be, whatever constitutes their thoughts at that time and their proud look. God hates that. We're to be like our Lord was when he came as our example of a meek and lowly servant. Now listen, he's done that. And he left that example for us to follow. But when he comes back, he's not going to be coming back as the meek and lowly Lamb of God. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming back as a conquering Savior. But he left us the example to be like him. Micah 6 and 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And that's the only way you can walk with him. Humbly. Humbly. So we need to check ourselves, don't we? Just from Bible study Wednesday night, that need for humility. Humbly. Humbly. How does a person not walk humbly? When they're not remembering who they are before God. When we forget the Lord and we forget our need of the Lord and we forget the abundance of his mercy toward us, we get lifted up in ourselves. If I had kept reading in Romans chapter 12, Paul would say, verse 3, he says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Now, if the Word of God tells us plainly that's not the way to be thinking, we need to guard ourselves against slipping into that mode, don't we? But to think soberly, that's being level-headed. That's being remembering what we ought to be. All right, think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. If he's blessed us to know who he is and to understand who we are before him, we need to remember our place is to walk humbly before our God. Boy, there's so much we could say about that. I do want to get two more passages, though. 1 Peter chapter 5. I might could quote this, but I'm going to turn to it. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now notice what he says, and remember now, the need for humility for us to walk before our God in a way that's pleasing unto him, keep our mind renewed. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Let it cover you up. Let it be seen. Let others realize and see. You know, you don't have to go around saying, I'm humble. You know, look at me. I'm the most humble brother in the planet. You can't call yourself humble. You need to show it. Be clothed. And what do we clothe ourselves with? Christ. Godliness. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. Uh-oh. Not only does he know him afar off, he resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Where would you rather be? God resisting you or in a position of him giving you grace? No question about that, is there? Oh, but listen, we forget. We let it slip. We need to be reminded. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, because it's a mighty hand. And if you don't do it, he will. Right? I mean, it's true, isn't it? He that exalteth himself shall be abased. Might be abased? No. No, it shall be. It's a mighty hand. He can do it. So we'd be better off doing it ourselves, right? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth. He careth for you. How much? Oh. We don't have time. How much? You know, those disciples was in that boat and it was filling up with water and the waves were boisterous and the wind was blowing and they were fearful. It was about to sink. I mean, these were seasoned fishermen, some of them were. So they knew what it was like and how much a ship could take before it would go under. They were about to sink. And they woke the Lord and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You think the Lord just... You know, they had a lot to learn, didn't they? They had an awful lot to learn. But then he demonstrated in a small way how much he cared. He took away all the problems that they were facing at that moment. He stilled the wind. He stilled the storm. He stilled the waves. And the ship was sitting in a great calm. And it didn't take 24 hours to do it. He said, peace, be still. And showing them how much he cared. And immediately, that great storm changed into a great calm. And we can face many storms. And our ship may be being tossed on the sea many times. But he is still able to say, peace, be still. And it will obey him. And they even said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, we know who he is. We know what manner of man he is. And we need to remember it on a regular basis and keep our mind and our heart transformed to his goodness and his mercy and walk humbly before him each day. Time's getting away. James, in James chapter 4, says much the same thing. Let's see. Let's begin at verse 6. Won't be able to comment on it much, but we'll read it. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. I love that, don't you? He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Very much the same sentiment that Peter told us. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We didn't read far enough in Peter to get to that point. Resist the devil. How? He's powerful. In the Lord. The Word of God. That's how Jesus did it. He's the best example we have. You never have a better one. He quoted Scripture. Quoted Scripture against him. He hates that. All right. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He's coming back. He'll come back. But that's what you need to do when you feel like he's tempting you. Quote that scripture at him. Use the word of God. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Oh, I've claimed that promise so many times. When I felt my heart get a little cold. When I feel like I needed more closeness with the Lord. And I could remember that promise. That's when you start remembering how merciful God is. How gracious he is. We get on our knees and confess and plead. That's drawing nigh to him, by the way. Not just with platitudes of the lips, but with the heart. And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Some things you need to leave off. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. He's talking about repentance. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Well, preacher, I don't have to do anything to repent of. But we can get deceived into that, can't we? Confess our faults. Confess our sins to the Lord. He already knows them. You're not going to acquaint him with anything. But he wants us to confess them. Humble yourselves. There it is again. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall. Isn't that encouraging? He shall lift you up. Humility. Third thing, God's word. You knew that was coming. You knew that was going to be in there, didn't you? That word we need because God says it better than we ever will. We need that word. It's our daily bread. It feeds our soul. It strengthens us. It helps us. God's words are wholesome words. You know what wholesome means? It's good for you. It'll build you up. It'll strengthen you. It'll add to your health. God's words are wholesome words. And I don't think I need to tell this group, but we just need to make sure we're reading the right word, right? There's a plethora of Bibles in the world today. Folks call us old-fashioned if they want to. But there are real reasons why we hold on to the King James translation. Not version, translation. The more I study it, the more I become convinced. God in His providence gave us that translation. We're not talking about theologians who think that, well, this is the truth, so it had to have said this and not that. No, these were scholars. And you will never convince me that there are better scholars today or in recent years than there were back then when the languages were in common use. God's word. He's promised to keep it. He said he'll keep it for us. It's pure words. Remember Psalm 12? They're pure words. As silver tried to furnish the verse seven times, purified seven times, thou wilt keep them, O Lord. Thou wilt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, if that's true, and I believe it is, that His word will be available for His people as long as the earth remains. We need to avail ourselves to it more. It makes me sick to hear folks telling jokes about dusty Bibles and finding things in the Bible that's been there for 6 months and didn't know where it was. God's not laughing at that. Neither should we. It's how we see Him more clearly. It's how we know Him better. It's not going to give us spiritual life, but it'll add life to that which we have. It will enliven us. It will quicken us. It will strengthen us. It will inform us. There's many, many benefits to availing ourselves to the Word of God. We need it. We need it. Deuteronomy 32. The same day that God took Moses up on that mountain, and that Moses would die and God would bury him. The same day. In Deuteronomy 32, beginning verse 46, He tells them to set your hearts. I don't have the quote exactly, but set your hearts unto all that God's commanded you. He said, it's not a vain thing to observe all these things. It is your life. How much more important could it be if it's your life? Wow. The Word of God. Observing. You know, it's good to know it, but it's even better to observe it. Take heed to it. Live according to it. That's the purpose, by the way, isn't it? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that perfect Word was demonstrated by the Son of God. I mean, it was demonstrated perfectly. And so that's what we need to follow. And the more closely we can follow it, the more like Him we'll be, and the more like Him will appear to others. But we need to be it first for others to be able to see it, right? So Peter, in 2 Peter, as he closed out that second epistle, says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to the glory of God. How much glory does He deserve? Have we ever given him as much glory as we could have? And so we have never given him as much glory as he deserves. But we need to keep trying. And the level of our love for him, and by the way, as you go through living a humble life and applying yourselves to the Word of God, your love will grow. Your love will grow. Knowing him is loving him. The better you know him, the better you'll love him. I promise you. On the authority of the Word of God. So, bathe your soul in his love each day. Walk humbly before him. Apply ourselves to this word. Refresh our mind. Strengthen our understanding. Number four, practice what you know. Well, that sounds simple enough, doesn't it? But you know, there's a whole lot of things that we know, but we come short in doing. So we need to work on that, don't we? Practice what you know. And you'll find yourself growing. Remember what Jesus said, John 13. If you know these things, verse 17. If you know these things, that's a good start. But if you know these things, happy are you if ye do them. I couldn't say it any better. That's a true statement the Lord gave us. We can count it as true and faithful, and we can prove it. If we'll prove it, not only will we know it here, we'll know it in our heart. And we'll trust it even more. Oh, so many places. The Word of God. The Word of God is just full of exhortations to apply the things that we learn. John 15, verse 14. You are my friends. If. Oh, wait a minute. You mean this is conditional? He didn't say your son, you're my son. He didn't say the relationship. He said the fellowship. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So doing his commandments strengthens our friendship. You know, there are friends that you're closer to than others, right? There's friends that you dearly love to be with, and then there's acquaintances. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. James has an awful lot to say about being doers of the word. Not just hearers only. He also says that faith without works is what?
Dead.
In other words, no evidence of life. No benefit to others. No glory to God. You know, that's another reason why we need to be praising the Lord now. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not going to praise him in the grave. Now your soul's not going to be in the grave. But I'm just saying, there's coming a time when our pilgrimage in this life is coming to an end. Either when he comes again, or whether we breathe out our last upon this earth. Faith without works is dead. You know, if a tree... The Lord taught us that principle. If it didn't have any fruit, what did he say to do about that tree? Cut it down. Isn't that right, Brother Glenn? Cut it down. You know something about cutting down trees, don't you? Now, the people, when he came to a fig tree on one occasion, and it he came 3 years, was it? Found no fruit. The Lord said, cut down. They said, wait a minute. Let us dug around it and dig it, and if it bear fruit, good. And if not, then we'll cut it down. The Lord is glorified when we do what we know and do it for His glory. My heart aches when I think about the amount of glory God could be getting if we were giving Him more of it. Is there room in your schedule to glorify God more? I say there is. I don't care if you're praising Him tremendously. There's more room. There's more room. I don't think I've met anybody that I got the impression that they were praising God as much as they could. Now, I know some mighty good folks, and their life is a praise to God, and I'm thankful for that. But you know, we can all praise Him a little bit more. All right, practice what you know. Last thing is to maintain a pilgrim perspective. Aunt Doris and Uncle Willie, I may not get it exactly right, but they I remember them saying a lot about, we're not put here to stay forever. I think that's close. We're not put here to stay forever. What does that say? That's right, and our time's going to be up sometime. This is not our final resting place. I tell you, it's gotten so crazy here lately. Aren't you thankful for the remembrance of God's mercy, the remembrance of God's love, the remembrance of His grace, the remembrance of what Jesus has done for us? Aren't you glad that we can fill our mind and our heart with these wonderful things as we have to face all of this garbage that's going on in the world today? Maintain a pilgrim perspective. Remember in Hebrews 11, they didn't obtain the promises. They saw them afar off, and they confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And to help us to maintain that pilgrim perspective, you know, it helps to stay positive, doesn't it? You dwell on bad stuff and it drags you down. It'll make you sick. Think about the good things the Lord has given us. Try to be positive about it. Be grateful. A thankful heart brings more joy. Be grateful and thankful. Be serving. You know, it's amazing. You can be feeling down or useless or whatever, and think about something you can do for somebody. And go do it. You know, the world's full of good intentions. I thought about I'd do this, or, you know, and we sometimes we console ourselves, well, I thought about doing it. I meant, well, I didn't get it done. But do it. And you'll find more joy. Simple as that. Go ahead and do it. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a text. Maybe it's a letter. Maybe it's a visit. You know, Brother Tommy's been down with his back and with his chest. Brother Tommy Ryan, he's been hurting a lot this week. Gee, I wonder how many calls and visits he got. I was talking to him yesterday or the day before. He kept saying, thank you for calling. I kind of got the impression he hadn't gotten much. What does that say? Are we too busy? Serving. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And all of this together brightens our hope. The more love you feel for the Lord, the more we feel His presence, the more we'll long for the time we can be with Him without all the bad things we have to deal with in this world. It brightens our hope if we have that pilgrim perspective. Because if we're a pilgrim, we're not going to be here long. If we're a stranger, we don't belong here. We've got somewhere else. We do belong. And that's why we enjoy singing about heaven so much. It's home. Whatever your concept of home is, it's probably something that you long for. I can think about growing up, being at home, family, and enjoying the thing. You know, it's just some good memories of home. Sadly, some folks don't have those kind of memories, but I do. A lot of you do. I'm going to tell you something. God has prepared a home for us, and we'll never have to leave. And all of God's family is going to be there without the loss of one. Why? Because He loved us so much. Because He sent His Son to this world to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins. Because we cannot be separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He's coming back to take us home forever. And if you're not looking forward to it, you need to get busy on these five things. Stir your heart. Bathe yourself in the love of God. Remind yourself of all that He's done for you so that we can be praising Him and adoring Him as we should. May God bless you is our prayer.